Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirkham with Looking Up, a few minutes in the middle of the week to think about astronomical things. Now, I'm here with a very special person, Chris Forder, who's an amateur telescope builder. He's been making telescopes since 1957. So I'm interested to know from Chris just what changes have been over that time. So, good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Ketchel and listeners.
So now, you know, you started in 1957, presumably with very different materials around available. So what are the big things that's changed in that time? Because you're still building telescopes, aren't you? Or at least you're about to repair mine, which I'm very grateful for. And so what are the big changes?
There have been many changes throughout. First of all, changes in the rules of making telescopes. You used to have a mirror which used to be 6 times diameter of its thickness, 6-to-1 ratio, and that made for very heavy mirrors. Now, with the new supports that have been designed and can be made by amateurs and anybody, those supports can support a mirror which is 1/2 to 1/3 of that thickness, which makes for much lighter telescopes. Makes them more portable. You don't have to have such heavy engineering around the telescope. Materials also have been changed a lot. We always used to make glass-on-glass disc to curve to generate the curve, and that used to be a waste because you used to have 2 6-inch mirrors, for instance, and throw one away because one is being used as a tool and it's now got the wrong size, wrong shaped curve on. However, nowadays you can make grinding tool out of concrete, cast it in concrete, and you tile it with ceramic tiles.
Now what you're talking about here, Chris, is the mirror itself, which is, if you like, the kind of the business end of a telescope. It's the important bit. The rest of it is kind of the mounting and the housing. But the mirror is what collects the light. And I know a lot of amateur telescope makers still grind their own mirrors, because this is what you're talking about. But I also know that these days you can buy mirrors more easily.
You can indeed, but I grind my own mirrors because I love it. It's an art, and it requires patience. So if you're a person who, when something goes wrong, blows your top, don't take it up. Other things that have changed considerably are the use of plastics, the use of computers, and things like 3D printing. People now do 3D printing for their focuses and for a lot of small parts on telescopes. Whereas before, like me, I have to do it on a lathe. So 3D printing is the latest technology. We've got it.
So in the old days, I mean, before the internet, presumably you had to go and find books on the subject.
Yes, there used to be a trio of books called Amateur Telescope Making 1, 2 and 3. That was the Bible of telescope making.
Now, you know, you can go onto the internet and you can buy all sorts of bits and pieces for your telescope, including the eyepieces, and they do the really clever work. And how has that changed?
Eyepieces changed really about 60 years ago. They used to have Huygenian and Ramsden, very simple two-lens eyepieces. Then along came the Plusals, which had more lenses, more color correction. And then came the Naglers, which were wide-angle. And these wide-angle eyepieces are something to behold. When you see an image through a wide-angle, it's like you're sticking your head into space.
When you set out in 1957 with your hobby, was it easy to obtain telescopes then, or did most people have to make their own?
But also, you couldn't buy one, a reflector. They were all refractors, like the old-day pirate telescopes, a tube with a lens at the end, which are limited in aperture.
Thank you so much for taking the time to tell Far Music Radio listeners about your life in telescope building. Thank you very much.
60 telescopes later, thank you.
What a wonderful hobby to have in your life. And for now, this is Ketchel Kirk, wishing us clear skies.